Today's episode of Locked On Eagles is sponsored by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code Locked On, and you're going to get 20% off your next order.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Eagles fans? Welcome into an emergency edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase here joining you on the first edition of the show this week. Five episodes a week downloaded into your phone when you subscribe to Locked On Eagles on any podcast platform. Let's get all the plugs in real quick before we get into the huge news of the day. Follow me on Twitter at DiBiase, L-O-E. Follow the show page at Locked On Birds. You guys have seen me yapping all day on the feed because there was gigantic news surrounding the Eagles. And again, we were going to do a podcast today anyway about this topic, but the reason the podcast is dropping late and now it's an emergency edition of the show is because we were kind of waiting for this news to drop because there was a meeting between Eagles owner Jeffrey Lurie and head coach Doug Peterson that was going down today in Florida. That meeting happened for multiple hours and big news broke about the future of Doug Peterson. Head coach Doug Peterson, after 3 years making the playoffs in a row, then a really bad 2020 going 4-11-1, has been fired as the Eagles head coach. 5 years, three playoff appearances in 2017, 2018, 2019, a Super Bowl win in 2017. But after a four-win season in 2020, Doug Peterson is out. And this was something that we thought could happen for sure. We thought this could, we've been talking about it for months on the podcast, but now that we're actually here, you know, I was holding the minute I saw this news drop, I looked to my right. There's a painting on my desk in my podcast studio of the Eagles and the Patriots kind of staring each other down in almost a Star Wars kind of setting from Spectre Sports, a local Philadelphia sports artist. And it's Doug Peterson staring down Bill Belichick. And I cannot believe that was less than 3 years ago that Doug Peterson, with a backup quarterback, put up 41 points and outdueled the best dynasty in NFL history, the best head coach and the best quarterback ever. And that quarterback had 500 plus passing yards. I was holding, then I looked to my left, and on this, I had this table to the left of my desk, and I have a shrine basically to the 2017 Super Bowl team. And at the bottom of the table is the Nick Foles book and the Doug Peterson book, Fearless. That was less than 3 years ago that this guy was writing a book about what he did to be a Super Bowl winning head coach in just his second year as the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. That was less than 3 years ago. That was less than 36 months ago. We're less than 2 years removed from the Eagles almost getting back to the NFC Championship with Doug Peterson and Nick Foles again in 2018. We're less than a year removed from myself purchasing an NFC East Championship hat because the Eagles won four straight last year and won the division at 9-7, going 4-0 down the stretch in 2019 to make the playoffs three straight years. That was all with Doug Peterson as the one consistent factor as a reason for your success. He was the one consistent thing you had for three straight years. And to now, to get to where we are now, where he is fired, I don't think I would have ever imagined this kind of scenario. If I would have traveled back in time right now and told the 2017 version of me, the 2018 version, hell, even last year's version of me, and you, and everybody, if you would have said Doug Peterson would be fired next year at the end of next season, man, the NFL really does stand for not for long. It truly does. Windows open, and they are never open for long. They shut so damn quick. No matter what you do, even if you win a championship, you are not safe, especially in Philadelphia. If you cross Howie Roseman, if you cross Jeffrey Lurie, even winning a Super Bowl does not make you safe. And that is the case with Doug Peterson, as he has been fired from his duties as head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. And initially, the report was a month ago from ESPN's Adam Schefter that Doug was going to make it through 2021, that Jeffrey Lurie was going to give him at least one more opportunity, one more season to get this thing right. But Jeffrey Lurie sat down with Doug Peterson at an end-of-the-year meeting last Tuesday and then also again today, and the report was that he was not convinced about Doug's plan to get this team back to where they were, especially in 2017. Lurie was going to give Peterson that say, on his own coaching staff that he should have had anyway, considering his resume, and all coaches should have that power. But Doug Peterson really hasn't. Jeffrey Lurie got rid of all the coaches that he forced on Doug last year, like Rich Scangarello. That was clearly a Lurie hiring because Doug Peterson didn't want to fire Mike Groh in the first place, his offensive coordinator or his wide receivers coach, Carson Walsh. And then Lurie forces Rich Scangarello on him, a former Kyle Shanahan guy. Marty Morningweg comes in. You bring in all these different cooks, too many cooks in the kitchen. Lurie did get rid of those guys. It looked like, just like Chip Kelly in 2015, Lurie's going to have a short leash with Doug, but he's going to give Doug the power and the control to ride or die in 2021. If Doug's going to go down, it's going to be on his terms. Well, it looked like Lurie wasn't even willing to do that for Doug. Like he was willing to give Chip Kelly control of the entire front office in 2015 and put his boy, Howie Roseman, to the other end of the NovaCare complex, not having any say in personnel. So he was willing to do that for Chip. But Doug Peterson, your Super Bowl winning coach that brought you to the playoffs 3 years in a row, that has a statue outside of the stadium, you weren't even willing this year to make the call on his own assistant coaching staff. Doug wanted to promote from within. Lurie was not happy. Doug Peterson wanted to make Press Taylor the offensive coordinator after being the pass game coordinator last year and the quarterback's coach the last two seasons. Doug wanted Press to be the OC, and he wanted, actually, it was just all internal promotions, right? He wanted a recycled coach that was already previously fired by the Eagles, Corey Unlin, the former defensive backs coach. Doug wanted to bring him back potentially as the defensive coordinator. So Doug's plan was, I'm not going to lie, pretty complacent. He wanted to promote from within. He wanted to stick with his guys, Press Taylor, Corey Unlin, you know, those kind of guys as his assistants. And Lurie was not happy. Lurie was going to give him say, but, you know, it came with contingencies. You know, it wasn't full power. Doug didn't have full say, clearly, because Doug's plan, Lurie wasn't buying into. Lurie was hoping Doug would come to him with outside hires, different names, you know, bigger names to potentially fix this offense and defense. And Doug Peterson wasn't happy with that either. Lurie wasn't happy with Doug's plan, and Doug wasn't happy that he didn't get full say in this plan. So even Ian Rappaport reported that Doug Peterson was sick of being told what to do, and that's really what it came down to right now, is that even Doug had enough of having just no control in anything within this organization. And you know what? Good for Doug. This was unfair, and to be honest, the fact that Peterson has had as much success as he did in 5 years with this team, considering the setup of failure that he was put into, he was set up to fail. The fact that he thrived like he did in 3 of 5 seasons is truly incredible. Because to deal with this power dynamic of Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman having so much say in everything that happens with this organization, and the fact that those guys lack any sort of accountability, because Lurie's the owner, so he has to answer to nobody, and Howie Roseman is basically untouchable now at this point. So for Doug to deal with that, to deal with the lack of talent on the roster for the majority of his stint in Philly because of Howie Roseman, to deal with the injuries that he had to on both sides of the football, to deal with no say in personnel at all, or his own damn coaching staff, despite his resume, to do that, to deal with all of that, and to win a championship, then nearly make it back to another in 2018, then to win the NFC East in 2019, with guys like Deontay Burnett and Robert Davis as receivers, and Joshua Perkins as tight end, and Boston Scott as a running back, to deal with all of that and to have the resume Doug did, to have the stretch he did. He deserves to thrive elsewhere. I'm glad that Doug, you know, I hate it that he's not going to be in Philly anymore, and I think it shows a true lack of patience and a lack of real accountability from this Eagles organization. But you know what? Again, I hate it, but I love it for Doug because he's going to go elsewhere in a much better situation, and I think he's going to thrive, and he deserves that because he put up with this dynamic in Philly longer than most people would or should. He was the one consistent thing that always you could rely on from 2017 to 2019 when there was so much adversity on the field and off the field. One thing that you knew would get you through at the end when you were 4-6, when you were 5-7, when there was injuries everywhere, when there was no talent, what could you rely on to get you out of those holes? It was Doug Peterson. What could you rely on to motivate that team to fight and to get out of that corner that you were backed into? It was Doug Peterson. And so good for Doug that he's going to go elsewhere, because the fact that he is the one that Jeffrey Lurie did not show patience with compared to Howie Roseman is so unjust. Roseman has been going on a decade plus now as the Eagles general manager. He took 1 year off in 2015. He's now going to hire his fourth head coach. He's been a part of three complete messes, the Dream Team. He survived that. Andy Reid didn't. The Chip Kelly debacle. Chip Kelly didn't survive that. Howie did. And now the Doug Peterson era. Howie Roseman is going to get to fix three messes that he was the main reason for it being a mess in the first place. He's going to be on his fourth head coach. That is unheard of in the NFL. GMs do not get to fix normally one mess or two. The fact that Howie is going to get to fix three messes that he created or was a huge part of, obviously Chip Kelly in 2015, that was his roster construction. But before that, it was mostly Howie Roseman as GM. The fact that he is sticking here and Doug is not just shows what a circus that this organization truly is. And I can't believe I'm saying that because the last 3 years, you've heard me and Gino talk this team up as a team that's playing chess while everybody else is playing checkers. And now I feel like how I felt in 2015, where this is a circus, and I don't know what the future of this team is, because as long as this power dynamic of Lurie and Howie is at the top, I don't know how you're ever going to be able to create real change. Because Lurie shows lack of patience with the people that deserve it. And the one guy that has had such a long sample size now, and you can see the trends of who he is, that's the guy he shows patience with over anybody. And that's why I've lost trust and faith that this organization's going to get it right. It really, honestly. And I love some of the offensive coaching candidates that are available right now. Eric Bieniemy, Joe Brady, Arthur Smith, Brian Dabble. Hell, Lincoln Riley. Maybe you can try to poach him from Oklahoma. Mike Kafka with the Kansas City Chiefs. I love the offensive minds that are available, not named Doug Peterson, that are available for your position as head coach. I think there's some great ones out there, some young, great, innovative minds. But why would they choose this mess? You have no power. Clearly, if Doug Peterson didn't have power, I don't know why you would. You're going to have no cap space, thanks to Howie Roseman. You're going to have no talent, thanks to Howie Roseman. Why would anybody want to come be the Eagles head coach? They're going to have to keep hiring brand new, young, first-time head coaches because those guys won't question this duo's authority. That is Howie and Lurie. If Doug Peterson couldn't make it work with them, the most easygoing coach ever, then who is going to? Who's going to? And Doug Peterson, you ran him out, and he was the most easygoing guy in 2016, and the only reason you hired him in 2016 is because of the same thing. Because it's, again, the same thing. They had to hire a first-time young head coach that had a history with the organization because the guys they really wanted in 2016, like Ben McAdoo and Adam Gase, they talked with the organization and they said, no, I'm not dealing with that, because they knew they were never going to get around that power duo of Lurie and Roseman. So that's why you hired Doug in the first place, and you even ran him out of town. This power dynamic even ran that guy out of town, the one guy that brought you a Lombardi trophy. Even Andy Reid couldn't do that. And so that just shows what a circus this is. And it shows why I lack faith that they're going to get the right coach, because it's not that there's not good ones out there outside of Doug Peterson. I think Doug is the most qualified that's available, obviously, based on the resume. But it's not just the fact that, you know, it's not the fact that I don't think there's anybody out there. I just don't think they're going to choose Philadelphia, because why would you? And so that means I think a Mike Kafka is more realistic, because he's young, just like Doug Peterson. He's going to be a first-time head coach, and he won't question your authority. And maybe that's the same thing with Joe Brady, so maybe you can get lucky on that end. But there's just not a lot of coaches that should want to come into this situation. Doug Peterson officially fired from the Philadelphia Eagles after 5 years as head coach for the Birds, winning a Super Bowl in 2017, making it back to the NFC divisional round in 2018, 15 yards away from the NFC title, 2019 winning the NFC East. Then you go 4-11-1 in 2020, and that lost Doug's job. Louis DiBiase reacting right here on Locked On Eagles. And guys, today's show is sponsored by betonline.ag. We have the second round of the playoffs coming up this weekend. Go to the one place that has you covered and the one place we trust for your bets. That's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account and use that promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON for your 50% off welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. We've also got the national championship tonight. Get in on all the action on the gridiron at betonline.ag. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% off welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into the Locked On Eagles podcast, an emergency edition of the show. Louis DiBiase joining you. Doug Peterson has been fired as the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. It's one of those moments you're going to remember for the rest of your life as an Eagles fan, where you were. I remember where I was when Chip Kelly and Howie Roseman were having that power struggle, and we're listening in, and we're thinking Chip's going to leave. I remember what happened when Chip got fired, and when he traded for Sam Bradford, and you remember when where you were when the Eagles moved up for Carson Wentz, and you remember where you were when DeSean Jackson got cut and when LeSean McCoy got traded for Kiko Alonso. There's just certain moments in Eagles history, and there's been a lot over the past decade that you remember because it's blockbuster kind of stuff. And this is one I truly will remember, where I had a big job interview today. And I'm like, of course, today the Eagles head coach gets fired. I'm trying to prepare for this other thing. And boom, Doug gone. And so that's just the way the Philadelphia Eagles are. They're always interesting, even when you don't want them to be. I didn't want them to be interesting in this way anymore. I thought we were past this. I thought we'd be fighting for championships now for a decade plus with Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson. I cannot believe less than 36 months removed from a Super Bowl that we're here. Again, I'm looking at my Super Bowl ring on the desk. I'm looking at the Doug Peterson painting. I'm looking at his book. It's incredible. I can't believe this is where we are. One thing I'll say, though, for everything that I had issues with about this firing, this decision in segment one, there are things I understand about this decision. There are. As long as this is what the Eagles' mindset was, the motivation behind this move. Look, I get this decision to move on from Doug if you're prioritizing the quarterback position. If you're specifically prioritizing Carson Wentz. If the report is true that Wentz truly did not want Doug as his head coach anymore, and it was going to be Doug or him, you would either trade Carson Wentz or fire Doug Peterson, then I get it. Prioritize Carson Wentz. You can find another good offensive-minded head coach. And that's not just what Doug's all about. He's not just a play caller. There's so much about Doug that makes him a great head coach. But you can find another one. You found one in Doug. You didn't think you'd find one after Andy Reid. Chip Kelly burned you, and you didn't think you'd love again, but you did. Whereas with quarterback, there's not a lot of guys of Carson Wentz's talent that comes around very often. And so to me, if it came down to one or the other, if it was between Doug and Carson, okay, then I get this decision. If you didn't trust Doug Peterson to develop Jalen Hurts or a rookie at sixth overall, you know, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, fine. If it was QB or Doug, go with QB. I understand that motivation. But I don't know if that's what it was. I hope if it was Doug versus Carson, okay, Carson. But if it was Doug versus Howie, and you could have made it work with Wentz and Peterson, then that is where the anger comes into play. That is where the mistake really truly lies. And so that's why it's hard for me to truly say if I disagree or agree with the decision, because I don't know what the motivation was. If the motivation was about quarterback, if Wentz was going to be gone, then I agree with it. But just in a nutshell, in a vacuum, should Doug Peterson have been fired? No. Should he have been fired over Howie Roseman? Definitely not. So I think he should still be in Philadelphia, but I do prioritize the quarterback position. And there are good candidates out there for this job, for the Eagles head coaching position. But again, the question is, will they be willing to come into a market that lacks this kind of patience, that lacks this kind of control over your own staff and your own roster? Why would you come here? Why would Eric Bieniemy want to be the Eagles head coach? Why would Arthur Smith, Brian Daboll, who else? Joe Brady, Lincoln Riley, when you can have the control that Riley has at Oklahoma, or Daboll could go coach Justin Herbert in the Los Angeles Chargers, or somebody could go coach Deshaun Watson wherever he goes. Why would you want to come to Philadelphia, where this dynamic of Lurie and Roseman has all the say, has all the credit, and none of the blame? I just don't get, that's why I'm so just discouraged right now about who's going to be the head coach. The thing that could get in a big name, regardless of this dynamic, would be the quarterback, though. It could sway one of these big names to come to Philly if they believe in Wentz, if they believe they can fix Carson, if they believe they could develop Zach Wilson, if that's where the organization wants to go, or Trey Lance, or Justin Fields. That's the one recruiting chip I think the Eagles do have, because again, that's really all they have. It's a giant unforgiving market that has no power for you as head coach in drafting, in free agency, in your own coaching staff pretty much, right? No cap space, no talent. So what do you have? You have quarterback options. And that is a big thing, though, because a head coach always is always tied to his quarterback. And so that's one thing the Eagles might have going for them, is optionality at that position, where there's some legitimate candidates that you can work with. Wentz, Hurts, Wilson, Lance, Fields, whoever it is. But even that, though, you might not even want to come to Philly for that, because you might not even have say in that. Lurie might say it's Wentz or bust. The head coach has to want to be with Carson Wentz, or we're not hiring him. So it's tough. I can't believe we're here. I will say, too, though, at the same time, I also understand that Doug Peterson's picks of who his coaching staff was going to be made up of were not good. Right. I wanted to, and that doesn't mean I still wanted to give Doug that benefit of the doubt. I would have let him hire Press Taylor as the OC and make all those internal promotions, and I would have gave him one final season for sure. But my God, I don't agree with anything Doug was trying to do. It was so complacent. It truly felt like he was trying to get fired because he knew Lurie, especially after last year, firing Groh and Walsh and making you hire all these outside guys, Morningweg, Scangarello. Clearly, Doug, going into the meeting, was not going to budge. He was saying, I'm tired of being told what to do. I'm going to hire my guys or I'm walking. It felt like he was pulling a George Costanza, if you will. If you watch Seinfeld, George Costanza worked for the Yankees and he kept trying to get fired. He attached a World Series trophy to the back of his car and drove around in the parking lot, you know, screaming, "Let's go Mets." That's what it felt like Doug was doing today. But I respect it because it was going to be his plan or nothing. I'm out. Because he deserves that. He's had to deal with the complete opposite. He's been so easygoing in dealing with so much, you know, middling in his own affairs by Lurie and Roseman that I'm glad today he stuck to his guns and said, it's going to be my plan or I'm walking. Lurie hated the plan. In fairness, I did too, but I would have kept Doug for another year. But, you know, it's Jeffrey Lurie, and he wanted Doug to come in and say, you know, thanks for giving me control of my coaching staff back. I'm going to do right by you now and give you what you want in that area, and I'm going to try to bring in, you know, like a Graham Harrell as my offensive coordinator, a young, flashy guy that comes from outside of the organization. But Doug was not willing to do that. I don't agree with what he wanted to do, but I do agree with his motivation for it, and I disagree with Lurie firing him because of it. And again, if that's the reason, that's why I would disagree. If it had to do with Wentz and quarterback, then okay, I guess I agree with the move. So that's why it's kind of a mixed bag for me, but the majority of myself, my being, is pretty pissed off about this firing. Louis DiBiase joining you on Locked On Eagles. Guys, today's show is sponsored by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar out there. 18 amazing flavors. You got 6 new ones: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. It's a healthy alternative to your everyday snack. It's great for the health conscious guy. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. 19 grams of protein, only 180 calories in every bar. Go to BuiltBar.com today and use that promo code LOCKEDON, and you're going to get 20% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles. Louis DiBiase reacting to the news that Doug Peterson has been fired as the Birds' head coach after 5 years with the team, a championship in 2017, a playoff appearance in 2018, and in 2019. He is gone after going 4-11-1 in 2020. So now, I mean, we got into everything, why I disagree and why Doug was treated unfairly in Philadelphia in segment one. Segment two, I tried to rationalize the move, agreeing with it if it had to do with Doug versus Carson Wentz or versus the future of the quarterback position. I get that part of it. If that was your motivation, I think Doug Peterson's plan for what he wanted his coaching staff to look like was insane. It was ridiculous. The Corey Unland thing especially made me laugh. Like, you fired him as your defensive backs coach last year. So now you're going to bring him in and promote him to DC? That kind of retread? I mean, it's just, that's why I thought it was George Costanza level, fire me. That kind of plan. Like, he wasn't truly taking the plan seriously because he knew Lurie would fire him if he suggested this. That's what it kind of felt like. And again, I understand the motivation for Doug if that is what he was trying to do. But still, I thought it was crazy what he wanted. So I tried to rationalize it in segment two, but for the most part, I truly disagree. And I think this is going to be a big mistake that the Eagles have made firing Doug. So what's next now, though? That's the big question. And we're going to get into that all off season, including tomorrow. Gino will be back on the show. And so we'll dive into future candidates and what's next for this team's future, as we've been doing for months now. But especially after this shoe dropped today, we've got a lot more to get into. Good thing we've got 5 shows a week downloaded into your phone, just saying. So make sure you subscribe to LOE. What's next? Ian Rappaport suggested today that Mike Kafka, the Kansas City Chiefs quarterback coach, could be a favorite for the Eagles' job. The Eagles actually wanted to hire him as the offensive coordinator last year, but Andy Reid did block that move. This does make sense. It's another Andy Reid guy. Mike Kafka was a former backup for the Philadelphia Eagles. He's young. He's innovative, I'm sure. He's been coaching Patrick Mahomes up the last couple years. What does that sound like to you? What does that sound like? A Kansas City Chiefs assistant coach that worked with great quarterbacks under Andy Reid, former quarterback, offensive mind, play caller of the future, work with your young quarterbacks. What does that sound like? Doug Peterson. It's the same blueprint as Doug Peterson. And that shows how absurd all of this is and how big of a mess this team truly is, because the plan that you had in place in 2016 with Doug Peterson, guess what? It worked. It won you a Super Bowl. But now you have to find a new guy just like Doug. You clearly like Doug and what he stood for as a head coach if you're interested in Mike Kafka. But it shows how bad this whole debauchery is that you have to hire a new one, a new version of Doug, because the old one got sick of your shit. Excuse my language. But the old one got sick of your shit. You ran him out of town, but you still like what he stood for. And so you want that kind of head coach again. So now you got to get one that won't question your authority. Doug finally did. He didn't for 4 years. In year five, he finally did when you just forced him. You kept pushing him and seeing when you could finally get him to his breaking point. And he finally broke. And so now you got to find the younger version, the brand new one that's never been a head coach and that won't question Howie Roseman's authority. That's what I find hilarious about the news that Mike Kafka, of all people, would be the top candidate right now to replace Doug. But it does make sense because the other guys, you know, Dable, Arthur Smith, Joe Brady, even Bieniemy, why would they choose to come to Philadelphia? Even Lincoln Riley. I know Howie Roseman is close with Lincoln, and that's been a report today that's been, you know, circling around. But why would Lincoln Riley is the czar of Oklahoma football? He's the king of Oklahoma football. He runs that show. Why would he want to come to Philly? It wouldn't make any sense. So I don't know what's next. I think Kafka is probably the legitimate answer right now. We'll continue to get into it, but I think the Eagles are going to have a hard time bringing in really who they want. And I just don't think a lot of the sexy candidate names right now would want to come to Philadelphia because of Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie. Until that dynamic changes, I just don't know how much this team will change. Last thing, just want to thank Doug Peterson. I mean, my God, he's going to be a Hall of Famer one day, Eagles Hall of Famer. He's got a statue outside the stadium. They better not take it down. You know, I don't care that there's going to be a new head coach that's going to have to see that. Don't care. Doug Peterson got you a Super Bowl against the greatest dynasty ever with a backup quarterback, with injuries at left tackle with Jason Peters, your middle linebacker, Jordan Hicks, a potential Hall of Fame running back in Darren Sproles, your special teams ace in Chris Maragos, your MVP quarterback in Carson Wentz. You lose all of that, and Doug Peterson outscored Bill Belichick and Tom Brady with Nick Foles at quarterback 41-33. And then with everything that happened in 2018 and 2019, he almost got you back to the NFC title in 2018. And in 2019, goes 4-0 down the stretch to win the NFC East. Doug Peterson created so many memories that nobody else could for us. He was a huge reason, a main reason, the main reason that there was a parade in downtown Philadelphia less than 3 years ago. He's got a statue. He has given us an incredible five-year run that I'll always remember. I've never had more fun as an Eagles fan than the last 5 years. Even this year, you know, this year sucked, but I would say the majority of, you know, four of the 5 years, this era of Eagles football is my favorite and I will never forget it. And Doug Peterson's going to be a great head coach elsewhere. I truly think that that's the case. And this is a sad day because it's really the end of an era now. Doug Peterson gone, Nick Foles gone. I mean, you just look at that 2017 team and that core. DeSean Jackson's going to be gone. We talked about it on the podcast on Friday. Zach Ertz, potentially. DeSean Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey, Jason Kelsey, Jason Peters. This really is going to be a brand new era of Eagles football. And while, you know, that was expected to a certain degree because a lot of these guys have been going since 2009, you know, 2011, 2013. They've been in the Andy Reid era, the Chip Kelly era. You knew, you know, 2017 was kind of the last stand of this core, and you were maximizing that window for a few years. You knew that wasn't going to last for another 10 years. But at the same time, I didn't think there'd be this much change in just three seasons after winning a title. But here we are. Here we are. Thank you, Doug Peterson. Good luck, and good luck to the next head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, because it is not an easy job, clearly. Even if you win a Super Bowl, you're not safe. All right, I'm going to sign off for now. We'll get back into it. I got to save some content for tomorrow. Me and Gino still got to talk about this all week long. So again, make sure you subscribe to the Lockdown Eagles podcast on any podcast platform. 5 episodes a week downloaded into your phone. And I'm always going to talk Eagles right after the show on Twitter. Right when I'm done editing, I'll go back to yapping at DiBiase, L-O-E, at Lockdown Birds. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And let's go Birds.